Oh, wow. Boy, that whole audience participation kind of lost right there, but that's good. That's good. You are still here with me. I'll do that once in a while if I feel that you're nodding off. Just make sure we're together. Well, it is a privilege and an honor just to be with you and to be able to share sort of what God has laid on my heart and my passion for seeing what the city can receive as the church becomes alive in communities and reaching youth for Christ. One thing is, if you get to know me and you have a coffee with me, you'll soon realize that I'm not as excited about seeing an organization develop in the City of London. What I am very passionate about is seeing a movement of youth for Christ occurring in the City of London, where the churches together with us working and trying to get and open doors within agencies and other opportunities where youth and children are, that we can bring presence and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into everyday life. And the reason why I'm very passionate about this is the state of our youth, not only in the City of London, but throughout Canada. Some recent statistics have come out about the youth, and one that we're noting is a lot of youth by the time or young adults between 19 and 25 are leaving the church. They're becoming disenfranchised with the church, wondering its relevance with faith. What is faith? What is real faith? Looking at where it's applied and effective within community, a lot of young adults think it's irrelevant. I don't see a difference that faith is making in the neighborhoods. I don't see a difference that faith is making even in my own life. A number of young adults are wrestling with the whole aspect of where does God and faith even change my life? Where's the relevancy? And during those times, those formative years where faith and God can really penetrate within a young mind, a lot of young people are saying, I never experienced God. I never experienced, in particular, healing. And by not experiencing healing, what they mean is that forgiveness, that relationship, some of those pains and those wounds that they experience. And I think all of us can probably relate to one or two wounds that we experience during the teenage years, where they just didn't sense or experience God's touch in their life in a practical, relevant way. So casting off faith. The other thing that we're looking at is within the unchurched youth, that there is a desperate cry for hope, and they don't even realize it, and they're not crying out for it, but it's being seen by the rise of suicide rates among young people today. What's different about the suicide rates today than the past is the past it could easily be detected because there is typically depression. There are some mannerisms, behaviors that would occur that would give some warning signs. There'd be some attempts first and ways of getting the youth help. Today, it's very different. Today, what's occurring is youth are experientially rich, but extremely relationally poor. Experientially rich, but relationally poor. And by that, they are able to buy everything. Like, we're dealing with street youth, okay? The ones that, quote unquote, have no money. But somehow, they all have iPhones, they've got iPads, they've got smartphones. I'm stuck with a BlackBerry, but they've got envious phones. And I look at some of the stuff that they have, and they've got stuff. So even at the poorest sort of location of youth, we see that they still are able to acquire stuff and have things and experiences. Well, our society says if you have a lot of stuff, the stuff that you want, if you do the various activities that give you self-pleasure in the area of sexual immorality, etc., or drug usage, that's okay now. That's just for fun. You're just doing that for fun, and it's okay. Sexual orientation, it's okay because it's just for fun. You don't have to worry about your sexual orientation. It's just where you sort of lean to, and there's no clarity brought around for these young people. Here's the challenge with the young people, though. While they're experiencing everything that the world and pop culture says is trendy and good, they're being left with guilt, shame, and despondency and wondering, you know what, I am not enjoying life. I have everything, but it still feels like I have nothing. And folks, logically, with mislogic, youth are checking out. They're saying, if this is the way the rest of my life is going to be, I'm out. It's interesting, I was reading on an MSN article talking about it's okay to have a one-night stand because really it's just fun. So just you got it. It's okay to have this fun. And in this article, this psychiatrist who's helping people to just have fun says, now what stops people a lot of times is guilt and shame. And the way you deal with that is just realize you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, why are you having guilt and shame? It's just pleasure. So just have fun. The reality at the core of how God has shaped and designed us is there is guilt and shame. I think a lot of times, I know for myself and some of the traditional upbringings I've had, I used to think one of my mandates was to convict the sinner of their sin. Convict the person that's living sinfully of why it's so bad what they're doing, not realizing how much guilt and shame they already possess within their bodies and their minds. Well, the youth today and the young adults today are realizing, no, you know, that's not enough. I still feel guilty. I still feel the shame. I still feel the hurt and the wounds. And I feel lost and alone. And if that's the only answer I get, I'm checking out. I'm leaving this world. Had a number of parents talk to me about their friends who are in the young church. They're not connected in any type of faith connection or church. And they're very much afraid of their children's future because they've seen some of their friends check out. And there were no warning signs. Folks, we have the hope. And if we don't bring that hope into a generation, into an unchurched community that is so desperately looking, who will? And if it isn't the church, what is that hope? What is that hope that the world can offer? Just don't? Guilt? Shame? A useless emotion? That's the best our world can offer. Well, here's what it says in Matthew 5:13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I'm excited this morning to be able to share with you that we do possess within us hope. We do possess within us that opportunity of potential that we can bring into community. When we gather as a church, it's not just to make ourselves feel good about our faith and feel good about who we are. It's that we could be encouraged and compelled to reach out and be that salt and be that light in community, living out Christ in everyday life, so that people will see that there is something more about you, and I want to know what it is. You're going through difficult situations as well, but somehow you're able to weather the storm. I want to know what it is. And there's that hunger, that thirst, getting them thirsty because we're so salty, thirsty for righteousness, thirsty for more. There's got to be more to life than this, and because I know you, because you're my neighbor, you're in my community, I know that I can have it too. And then being that light of hope, revealing darkness. As young people and their parents are lost in this darkness, that they would see that there is hope, there is more to life, and it can be theirs to possess too. As I share with you this next part of the talk from Luke 10, I'm a little bit torn on it. I'm going to share from the perspective of what we've been doing with YFC, just to reveal and sort of share a little bit how we're applying Luke 10 into everyday application. But I'd like you, as I go through this, to also be looking at your own lives, where you work, where you live in community. And I want you to consider these same steps and principles for how we as the Church of West London Alliance can live this out into our communities where there are countless number of people looking for hope. Well, in Luke 10, we read this. It says that in Luke 10, verse 1, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take along any money or a traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road." This first part that we look at in Luke 10, I just sort of to summarize it would be, keep it simple and keep it intentional. Keep it simple and keep it intentional. Too often in life, we like to complicate the process of bringing Christ into community. And we like to create lots of different types of high-quality programs or the right lights, the right glitz, that's what will work. That's how we'll draw in. And I find a lot of times the committees start meeting, and committees can take 3 years before something gets executed, and by then the whole need has changed. Jesus is saying to these 72, I want you to go ahead of me, and I want you to prepare the places ahead of me where I want to bring my hope, where I'm going to bring the message of repentance, which is changing the way you think. There is a different way of living. And I want you to bring this message before me into these communities in pairs. But I want you to keep it light. I want you to not be packing all this extra stuff. Don't get weighed down. I want you to keep going and keep moving ahead. And I want you to not be talking to people, to strangers that are along the road. And I kind of wrestled with that whole stranger thing. But I really look at today, some of the strangers that we have is the busyness of life, that hurriedness of life, where we get caught up in how do I manage everything? And I've got so many activities, and I just don't have time for the neighbors. I don't have time for the people around me. And organizationally, as we looked at YFC, we just decided, let's get it down to a very simplistic mission. What are we about, and how do we do it? We're about reaching youth for Christ. So let's stop complicating it, and let's just be present in the community where youth are. Well, there's a few obstacles that we had to encounter that really didn't want necessarily faith-based organizations into public systems. But as we began to bring other simplistic ways and programs, which I'll talk about later, the doors began to open to us to bring that in. But keep the mission simple. Avoid the distraction of busyness. Very easy to be busy in an office. Very easy to be busy talking to people about how busy we can be and finding ourselves running out of time. But if we're just simply out doing the mission and being present in community, God will align and direct our path. Looking for where God is at work and aligning ourselves to that. One of the things when first coming on board, because I'm somewhat task-oriented, I'm a little bit driven that way, looking at the mission of how can we be relevant in community, we really had to simplify and say, where is God working? Let's not create a program, create a center, and expect God and the people to show up. Let's look for where God is already at work in community and align ourselves around that as the church, as YFC, and start impacting and bringing Christ into those realms. Keeping it about people and relationship. Again, it's very easy to get lost in some of the programs and what we'll look like and how do we represent YFC out there organizationally. Unless you look at it from the perspective of it's not about YFC organization, it's about reaching youth for Christ. It's about relationships. It's about bringing the gospel in relationship. And then staying focused on why we do what we do. Because there will be those times of challenge and there will be those times of opposition. But we have to remember for whom we work, for whom we serve, and that he's the one that equips us and gives us the sufficiencies. And therefore, we get to walk forward in obedience to him and see people reach with the hope of the greatness of our God. Well, it continues on in verse 5 to 7. It says, whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If those who live there are worthy, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. When looking at this passage in part of Luke 10, it's simply this bringing God's peace and living simply within your community. Bringing God's peace and living within the community. In doing so, we looked for ways that we could encourage the schools that were around YFC. We really started saying, we've got a center on Adelaide Street. It's 18,000 square feet. How do we best utilize this facility in Glencairn? Is it by mistake that it's here? Did it just happen to be a good deal on property? That's why it was bought? Or does God have a purpose right within this area, about 4,000 or 5,000 teenagers and youth that are right in that area? Does God have a greater purpose for how we can serve the immediate group around us? So we got intentional about getting to know our neighbors, getting to know the local schools and getting to know the principals there and see who would be opening their doors and who would be closing. I'd like to say that all the doors opened wide to us, but they didn't. There's quite a few doors that closed on us. As well, the school system and the school structure changed at this fall of 2012, where there was no longer open access to the schools. And YFC, one of the ways that it made its intentional relationship into the lives of young people was that there used to be an open access to Youth for Christ where we could just go and be there during lunchtime and connect with youth and encourage them. That door had closed where there had to be official program agreements that would be established with the school board to give you access to individual schools before the principals can even allow you into the doors within those schools. So that was kind of a surprise that we hit in 2012, another door, and it just felt like doors were closing. But we continued going around giving cookies. We've got a few bakers in our staff. So we bring cookies, just saying thankful to be serving the youth of the community together, and just ways to try to open doors and connect relationally with the schools. Began collaborating efforts with local agencies, looking at what they were doing and how we could come along them and support them. Because ultimately, they were trying to reach youth, and we wanted to reach youth too. They were able to provide some physical and emotional supports. We were able to provide spiritual and relational supports. And so we looked, how do we come together and work together, serving our community with the local agencies? This gave us some active participation in community events in the Glen Cairn area. There's Summerfest, Winterfest, and there's some information in the back there. We've now become one of the leaders of working within the community of the Glen Cairn Pond Mills Westminster, of trying to help the families and support the youth within those communities. Active in community groups and networks, and this is where, as well, began actively involved in city initiatives. We began to align ourselves and making sure that our staff were intentional about knowing what are the needs within our community. Let's not go in saying we have the answers from the top down, but let's spend time with the people that are there who already know their needs and already have assets that they bring to the table. Let's not make it look like because we're Christians, we represent the faith, we represent the church. Let's not come in there so arrogant that we make people think, okay, I guess you've got all the answers, so I guess you can do it all. Or actually, you're very naive and you're going to bring harm into our neighborhood, so we like to exclude you. But rather, we came alongside and say, you know, we have questions too. And we're looking, we don't have all the answers, but we do have a few answers. And we do have a few supports. And we're looking at sustainability within community. Has the city ever thought of the church? And this great faith community that's all around the city, that each of these little local bodies are self-sustaining. What if the church itself became that group, that body within communities that supported the individuals in need? Not serving them, but coming alongside and encouraging them and building each other up. And that's where some conversations have opened and are continuing to open as we just live within the community. Then in verse 10, it says, verse 9, it says, heal the sick. Heal the sick. And here we just summarize as identify and meet the needs. I have to say at this point, we haven't actually had a physical healing where we've prayed or laid hands on. God could do that if he should so choose. But there is a point where we do bring healing and release and freedom by the power of what Jesus Christ has given us and just meeting the basic needs and living out kingdom principles within the community. So for us, what we've been doing is some coaching. The door for coaching was still very much open. There were some areas where initially they looked at Youth for Christ coaching. Can we take that for serious or not? Well, Jay Lawrence was a godsend from originally South Africa, where he was born and raised, then moved to the UK where he ran sports and faith and sports, and from there felt God's calling to Canada, and that's how we connected over the internet and we're Skyping for a few months. And just since God was laid on his heart the youth of Canadians, and he wasn't sure why, I wasn't sure why, and I was trying to think, okay, are you looking for a green card in Canada? Like, where is this kind of going? And as we began to have this conversation, I heard more and more his heart and his passion for Jesus Christ, and his heart and his passion for the lostness of youth, and wanting to see that hope of Jesus Christ come into the lives of youth. And he wanted to do more than just limited to the one coaching aspect. He wanted to do more. At the same point, he is a certified trained coach. And this opened up some huge opportunities now within the school. Initially, they were a little bit skeptical, not sure about this Lawrence guy, but he is a 6'2" or 6'3", well-built guy. He's got the whole British accent thing going for him. So just kind of wins the attention of youth very, very quickly. Not so athletic, not so tall, but the build still. But anyways... So looking at Jay, the door has opened up so much so that until the school shut down all the after-school sports, Jay was actually approached, would you be our primary community coach for every aspect of coaching season? We like what you're doing. I mean, he was the first guy at Laurier that said to the students in basketball team, all right, it's game day. So game day is proper attire. It's going to be shirt and ties. And they're like, yeah, whatever. He said, you're not shirt and tie, you're bench for the game. And so Jay gets it. He's lifting up and elevating. This is what you have. This is who you can be. Don't tell me I'm just a jock. No, no, there's some class here. And we're going to raise the bar here. And that coaching has all of a sudden brought some dignity even to those youth. And one of the guys lives right nearby the center, said to Jay afterwards, you know what, I just feel like I do have some dignity. I do have, you know, a rough start, and Jay's gotten into the family a little bit, and they are part of the working poor that live within our community. And he said, I just feel like I'm a new man, like I've got something. And seeing that hope from a little thing like wearing a shirt and a tie, it's incredible. I'm not saying that we all have to start wearing shirts and ties, don't get me wrong, but just that dignity of, no, people respect you because we all look the same now. We're a team. There's no one that's down-dressed or up-dressed. And Jay, for the first game day, showed up there with some shirts and ties just for the guys that might not have been able to afford it or didn't have them. But each of the guys, except for, I think, two that didn't have ties, came at least with collared shirts and ties. So coaching is a way that we're trying to get in there. Programs during meal breaks within the school. There is a growing need and a growing desire that we could bring programs during the two meal breaks in the elementary schools. And our age focus is we're going from grade 5 age 10 up to 24 is sort of the top end. And three segments, grades 5 to 8, the next segment's grade 9 to 12, and then young adults and transitioning. And that's more with the streetlight that we find the young adults and transitioning goes. So programs during meal breaks where we can just come in, be with youth, encourage them running different types of programs around art, around sports. One school actually asked us, is there any way you could do a leadership group program for girls? We see that the grade 8 girls are really struggling in the areas of moral decisions and character. Is there a way that you could bring a program that would align with that? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. We can do that. And so different programs that are opening up, again, we need to do through the school board, get them approved so we can then bring them into the school. But we're finding now the principals are asking and wondering how we can do this. Life skill training. We have a cooking program, and basically it's cook what you eat. Training girls and guys, but the smart guys come because there's a number of girls to one guy, training them how to cook healthy food. And we do this wraparound with the public health unit, and they come, they don't come anymore, but they train our leaders, our volunteers, and we run these cooking programs. And that program is in demand, which is exciting to see. But we're also seeing those youth now cooking meals and healthy meals for their families. That weren't before cooking those meals because of the busyness of life. Not so much that they didn't have money, but just everyone's so busy, and now the youth are able to provide that resource to their homes. Lunch programs, it's not that there's a lack of need as far as we have starving kids in the Glen Cairn Pond Mills, although there are some children that aren't eating healthy. But our meal program and lunch program is just to be in there developing relationships, creating a space that's fun. We do this at Salvation Army, which is kitty corner to the Laurier School. And again, as a pilot test to see, is it going to engage? Is it going to be relevant? We heard there was a need. And now, which we started out with about 15 to 20 kids, we're seeing on average 70 to 80 youth that are coming out to that. And so there's just this excitement and this desire for youth to come and be part and be engaged in this relationship time. And then after school programs, like the MAC that we run 3 days a week, where youth from grades 5 to 8 can come and be encouraged in different life skills again, or just come and hang out and do their homework and get some homework support. So ways that we can just create that safe place for youth to come and be present. Goes on in Luke 9b, and it says, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. And then in Luke 10:16, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. And here we're just entering into a lot of kingdom conversations, a lot of things that they see practically us doing as an organization in their midst. And the one thing that we're looking at is that it's not just, again, YFC organizationally doing this. And that's where we're excited that now we can sort of go and approach the church, that church, the community is open and looking for these kingdom moments. The community is looking for people that can bring in and bring hope in. And so we are running different types of programs like youth and Street Alpha, building time activities, whether it be basketball, floor hockey in our little gym. We've got some theater programs that are going on, one-on-one support, community presentations, and just ultimately connecting the church with the unchurched. What we're excited about is there is an opportunity for us together, YFC and the church in community, to reach youth for Christ. as you heard in the video, Darren D's, by the way, those were all unprompted. So when he said that, I kind of cringed when that was the one part that the videographer put in the video quote, that the church isn't able to do it. I cringe on that, because I look at what YFC is doing is for the church and of the church. Organizationally, I don't want YFC to ever be separated so far from the church that it becomes an end to itself. If so, we've just created another generation of youth that are not going to be connected to a faith community and are going to fall away from Christ. What YFC, to be successful, we have to be together with the church in community. And we see the opportunity isn't so much, hey, look at all the doors YFC's in. We look every door we open, hey, here's another door that the church, the community of faith, gets to be in and speak and bring hope and value and greater purpose and intentionality to the mission of changing and seeing our city reached and ultimately transformation. Now it goes on in Luke 10:18-20, it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. And Jesus said, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Now, we haven't cast out any demons as YFC, although I will say there are a number of youth that we've had that wrestle with various demonic-type dreams. That we have seen their dreams change as we've been praying for them and revealing Jesus Christ and the hope of Christ. And as they've now spent time reading scriptures for themselves, they're finding peace when they go to sleep at night and not waking up with some horrific dreams that has been occurring to them. We haven't actually stepped and crushed any snakes or scorpions under our feet. Fortunately, we don't have those in our area, and so we're quite thankful about that. But we have seen God open doors. I said earlier that a lot of the doors were kind of closed to us. In fact, one school, it was said to the receptionist that if YFC, if Youth for Christ comes, tell them we're not interested. When they come and they want to give a brochure, tell them no thanks. And if they think that they can offer anything of value, tell them we're all right. We don't want Youth for Christ in our building. Just before Christmas, Chris McDonald was handing out little chocolates. She's our center director, and she's handing out chocolates to the schools. Again, we're just trying to fade to the stomach. You know, you get to the heart. And so she's bringing chocolates around again. Thank you for serving the community of youth together. And the principal saw her come in the door and said, who are you with? And she said, well, I'm actually with YFC. She said, that's Youth for Christ. And Chris is like, yeah. She's like, okay, you know what? That's great. We need to talk because we need some of your programs here. We've been getting a lot of parents talking because we've been doing different community events for parents with youth. The parents have been talking about what you guys have and what you're doing at some of the other schools, and we need that here. We've got a lot of youth and children that are struggling, and we need the support. We need to support them. We need to support their parents. And Chris said, well, you do realize, because I've trained all the staff to make sure you put the caveat in there, you do realize we are a faith-based organization. You do realize that. And the principal's response was, I don't care about faith. The kids can figure that out for themselves. Right now, we need help. And I thought, praise the Lord. That's awesome. And so I share that as this. As we live in community and our faith is relevant, we will see the kingdom of God move. We will see the greatness of God exposed, because God's heart is passionate about reaching these lost young people. And ladies and gentlemen, they are lost. YFC doesn't have the answer. YFC is not the answer. The church, Jesus Christ, is the answer. Jesus Christ is the hope for our world. Jesus Christ is the hope for our nation. And it's as we come together, we can see Jesus Christ revealed in our everyday community. So, brothers and sisters of West London Alliance, my call to you is this, that we live out Christ in community, that together, as doors are opened by this banner called YFC London, as we're able to open up doors, that we would see the church as well, say, great, thanks for the opportunity to live out Christ in a practical way in community, so that when children and when families and when parents say, I'm lost, I'm confused, how do you have it all together? We can say, you know what, I don't. It's not about the sufficiency I have. It's about Christ in me that gives me hope for tomorrow. It's Christ in me that lets me go through another day, knowing this isn't all there is to life. God has a greater purpose even in the circumstance and situation. There is an opportunity to reach out within our community. So community engagement is one thing that I would like to share, that if there's an area, an opportunity that you would like to bring a skill set, we have different things that practically you can be involved in. We would love to have you share that skill. It could be in the arts, it could be technical, it could be media. Whatever your skill and your passion is around, we would love to be able to align that within not only just an after-school program or an evening program, but even right into the school campus. Or during the meal break, you've got 40 minutes where you could actually package together a presentation to work and to train and equip youth with potential and with hope, with that opportunity to see an adult who's willing to spend time and love in their lives. So bringing your talent. There's also some needs around us for construction and building development. I'm not a construction expert, but there is, because of the growth within our cooking program, there's a need for us to expand our kitchen. And we're looking for how we can expand and actually upgrade it to a commercial kitchen so we can actually put on some programs and some food programs for the community and for the family. So the kids would actually be cooking for their communities and having the community come. And again, everyone bringing their asset. What can you bring to the table? And that's asset to the table. And bringing it there so that we can serve one another and actually see that together we can end poverty, relational poverty, physical poverty. And ultimately, as the church and the faith community is there, spiritual poverty, that people can know there is a hope beyond the physical. So there's some building needs that we have, and I'd love to talk to you about that if that's an area of interest. The other is financial support. YFC is supported by the generosity of the community. YFC is supported by individuals who give. A number of people are able to give monthly and make YFC one of their partner connections. And there are some forms. There's two tables that we have set up today. I'm going to be over at the south table. The east table, we have, since I'm not there, the laptop's there showing you some pictures. But there's an opportunity there where you could grab a form and become a monthly partner and support YFC financially on a monthly basis. All of our staff are supported through donations. And so you might say, I'd like to actually connect with one of those staff members, or James, I'd like to connect with you. Whoever you sign up to connect as a staff person, you will get our individual newsletters and updates of how you can pray and be encouraged with what God's doing. As well, there's a sign-up list there that you can sign your name on if you'd like to just be a monthly prayer partner. Which we send emails for that, for monthly updates, as far as some of the prayer requests that we have. Because as we see God opening up opportunities, we're also seeing the enemy trying to pull those opportunities back. And so we're really focused on how to build a prayer, specific prayer team that will be looking at some of those needs and just be wrapping the team in the ministry of YFC as we spread across the city in prayer. There's also some youth scholarship opportunities. Looking at asset-based development, we do believe that there are is the opportunity where youth can also give, and having everything for free isn't necessarily helping community, but there are a number of youth that can't afford. And so for that, there's scholarship that we award youth with that we know that can't afford the full fees. All of our programs are very low priced, $5 for an 8-week cooking class, but there are still some youth that feel that $5 is too much, not for their iPhone, but for that cooking program. And so there are some areas where we do use some best judgment in that scholarship program, but we do try to help youth to make sure that they all receive. And then just general support of what we have. I'm seeing that my time is at an end, so I don't want to go much beyond. But there is some information at the two tables. I'd love to chat with you some more. Love doing coffee and sharing more about what God's doing in the community. And just thank you so much for the partnership with YFC that West London has brought on YFC as one of the agencies that you will support. And I'm looking at it as how we do that together. My daughter and Charlie Rock Young are going to be in the Streetlight RV, and so they will be sharing with you as well. If you have any questions about YFC, or you would like to check out the Streetlight Mobile Youth Center that goes downtown twice a week, please be sure to walk in there, take a peek around. The generator was on. If it didn't drop the circuit breaker. There should be heat in there. If not, make sure you've got your coat on anyways. You should be fine. But you can take a peek at that. If I could just encourage you when you walk on that RV, just pray a blessing over it. We get, in the summertime, upwards of 150 youth that come out on any given night. Through the wintertime, I was thinking that would drop down to about 5. We're still getting between 30 to 40 youth that are coming out through the winter months. And West London as well, there's a team here, that just happens to be on my small group, that we provide sandwiches for Streetlight once a month. And so there's practical ways like that, that you might even say, can I get involved in this way with Streetlight? Or here's what I have to bring to the table. Will this help? And there's a good chance it will. And so I just encourage you to let God speak to your heart of how you could come around YFC and support the ministry of what God's doing before us. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the beauty of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look at the youth in our city, as we look at the youth in our communities and the families in the communities, Lord, we don't have to look too far to see the hurt. We don't have to look too far to see the despondency and just those that are looking for hope. Father God, I thank you that through Christ we have that hope that we can bring into community. That each one of us in this room right now live in a home and we have the opportunity to eat. We had a way of transportation to get here. But there's people who live right within our communities that right now don't know that hope. And so, Father, I pray that you would allow us in our own lives to simplify how we engage our neighbors. And that we would just bring Jesus Christ and the hope of the gospel to our neighbors through just everyday relationship and looking for those opportunities to share our conversation of the hope that you've placed within us. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedom that is ours in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that there are youth in our city that even today are wondering, is it worth even going one more day? That, Father, I just pray right now that you would bring a person, a man or woman of God into their life that would just speak love, would speak hope, would speak that other word into their life, that there is a greater purpose in life than this, that they are created by a loving God who loves them and has a purpose specifically for them, and that they do have hope for today and for tomorrow. So God, would you just lead us, even as a church this day, into relationships and conversations that would make known the greatness of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.